The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Senior government sources have warned that introducing the Occupied Territories Bill would be an act of economic terrorism in the middle of a trade war with the United States. And that's according to an article on the front of today's Irish Daily Mail. I'm joined on the line by Craig Hughes, political editor at that newspaper, and also by Richard Boyd-Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary. Good morning and welcome. Let's get the detail from you, Craig, first of all. Good morning. What are government sources telling you and who are they?
Good morning, Pat. I'm sure you're not going to ask me who my sources are live on radio, but let's move.
No, but has any minister broken ranks and said anything about this, or is this sort of?
No, I mean, like this is a very politically sensitive issue for the government. I mean, the Taoiseach spokesman was quick to say that it was still on in the programme for government last night. But I mean, after the cabinet yesterday, which was described as a very gloomy meeting, very stark warnings coming from the Taoiseach and Minister for Trade, Simon Harris, and it was against that backdrop that I was having conversations with people in government about what would be the next steps that the government will take to respond against the looming trade war with the United States. We know from the programme for government that promised tax cuts will be paused. And when I asked for what would happen after that, what's the kind of next rung on the ladder, I was told the Occupied Territories Bill, and the words were that it would be an act of economic terrorism to introduce it now. And of course, we already know that there has been severe pressure on the government from the United States. And of course, the ambassador to Ireland, Claire Cronin, last year warned it would impact 1,000 US companies here. In a letter to the Department of Foreign Affairs. Last week, we had IBEX Danny McCoy saying that it really couldn't be implemented despite the high moral position on it. And I think there is a sense that, to really try and long finger this now, because we know that Donald Trump has also threatened the potential for country-specific tariffs, and there seems to be little or no appetite to, I would say, poke the bear at this point.
So, Richard Boyd-Barrett, what do you say? I mean, you've been pushing for this and it looked like it was well underway. Then there were some legal difficulties. The government we had to have a new government, an election and so on. And it's still in the programme for government, but they're indicating quietly it may have to be shelved.
Well, I mean, what it means is now that the US government are dictating policy.
Are they not doing that anyway?
Well, so I thought we had a democracy in this country. I thought we had freed ourselves from empire. So it now turns out that we don't have a democracy and that the US government and specifically the Trump administration dictate policy. And in particular, when the government, under very significant pressure in advance of the election, gave a solemn promise. One of the many now that are being broken by this government, gave a solemn promise that the Occupied Territories Bill would be passed against Israel. A very minimal measure, by the way, for a government that is in the dock for genocide, in my opinion, is committing genocide, that has killed 96 people in the last 24 hours. There's a report out today that more journalists have been killed in Gaza than in World War I, World War II, the American Civil War, the Vietnam War, and just about all wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, combined in just the last year and a half. I mean, this is a slaughter that's happening. And here was a bill the government promised to implement because the public demanded it, and against a country that is in dock for the most serious crime, the crime of genocide. Where the prime minister of that country is wanted, has an arrest warrant out for him for crimes against humanity and war crimes. And now Donald Trump is going to dictate policy and prevent that from happening. And the government are going to renege on a promise made to the Irish public. It's absolutely shocking. And people should bear in mind, if they're not concerned about what's happening in Gaza, and they should be, this is going to have very serious implications for ordinary people here.
Let's be practical for a moment.
Trump is also dictating economic policy here now. The exchange between Micheál Martin and Trump on the issue of housing, where he described the housing crisis as a sign of our success, should worry people, because this is now what's happening with the trade war. It's not just on the Occupied Territories Bill, which is shocking, but it seems economic policy, which is going to affect ordinary people here, is going to be dictated by a Trump administration that is.
But when you talk about solemn promises made by parties in government that they should adhere to them, irrespective of what's going on in the world, I mean, we've been warned that the promised tax cuts, which you may or may not agree with, probably not agree with, the promised tax cuts may not happen in the budget for 2026 when it's announced in October or whatever, because of events, dear boy, events. Isn't that the situation? You have to cut your cloth to what's happening in the real world. And we see what's happening with the Trump administration. They are becoming despotic.
They are absolutely becoming despotic. And the question is, do you bend the knee to tyrants? And I certainly believe that we don't. Surely we learned the lessons of, you know, the horrors of the Second World War and where bending the knee to despots leads. And I just think that our country in particular, as a country whose identity is tied up with opposing empire, fighting for our independence, opposing colonialism and the, you know, the imperialist politics of big powers, that we are going to bend the knee instead of standing up against this madness, a madness that is already inflicting a great cost on ordinary Americans, as well as the horrors that are being inflicted in Gaza, the threats of ethnic cleansing of Gaza, now a trade war, potentially
a global
recession.
But Richard, principle is very important, and that we should try as best we can to adhere to our principles. But we have made our position on Gaza well known internationally, to the point that Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, has been labelled anti-Semitic in certain quarters because of that very stance. And I have to ask you this, for all the virtue signalling we have done, has it changed a thing in Gaza?
Exactly, because it's virtue signalling and it's rhetoric instead of action, which, you know, some of us have been calling for many, many years.
Okay, but suppose we actually pass this Occupied Territories Bill, put it into law. It will impact so many American companies here. We've heard that. It may not be implementable in any meaningful way, according to, was it Danny McCoy, Craig, quoted there. What then?
Well, you see, the point is, and this is why I made the point, that ordinary people here are going to suffer an economic cost. If you're talking about pragmatic throwing out principle and just worrying about self-interest, in my opinion, ordinary people are going to lose out if the United States government dictate policy, because Donald Trump does not care about ordinary people here. He's made that absolutely clear. And what's now being talked about in Europe is a doubling of arms expenditure, and European governments are openly saying that this is going to come at the cost of expenditure on social welfare, on public services, on programs like housing. And we're seeing that the soundings from the government that the same is going to happen here, that Donald Trump and Ursula von der Leyen are saying we have to ramp up military expenditure in Europe, and that is going to come at the cost of public sector jobs, of social programs, of housing. And that's starting to happen in America, where tens of thousands of workers have been sacked by Donald Trump, public sector workers sacked. And I don't think that's helping American workers, but what it is helping is the Elon Musks, the billionaires, the arms industry, and this is now the direction of travel in Europe.
Okay, but I believe
ordinary people will suffer as a result of this.
Now, we had an unprecedented time of peace in Europe. We had, of course, the Balkan War, but generally speaking, across Western Europe and into Eastern Europe, we've had a time of unprecedented peace until, of course, we had what happened in Ukraine and now the war that has expanded in that particular country. But the reason for that peace was the solidarity of NATO, and Trump has been saying, well, you know, you're not going to be able to freeload on us anymore. You cannot depend on the United States to provide that security to keep Russia at bay from going into Poland or into any of the Baltic states, which is probably the more likely move.
Pat, first of all, if there's going to be a serious economic analysis of the decline of the American economy, right, because that's what Trump is worried about and is trying to respond to. The American economy has declined from having about, I think at one point, nearly close enough to 40 or 50% of global GDP. It's down to about 15%. And by the way, we should consider that fact. They're not as powerful as they used to be, and we shouldn't be bullied by them. But the reason they are in that predicament is precisely because they spent too much on weapons and armaments during the Cold War period, and other economies that didn't spend as much on armaments gained a competitive edge on them. Right. So they're paying the price for militarism. And Trump is now trying to level the playing field by getting all the rest of us to spend more on weapons. Now, first of all, we are going to suffer if we do that. Ordinary people, there will be less money for housing, for health, for education, for public services. But secondly, when you spend money on weapons and war, weapons and militarism, you end up in a war.
So what are you saying to the people of Poland? Just wait for Putin to roll over them with his tanks? Is that what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. But first of all, the idea that Putin, who spends, I think, about one-tenth of what the United States spends on weapons, NATO in total has 53% of global arms expenditure. Russia has about, I think, 10% approximately, right? So the idea, first of all, that weapons expenditure, if we increase it even further, sort of safeguards us, is nonsense. But it's clear that the Russian economy is in trouble anyway. They are spending too much on weapons. And the idea that they could invade Europe is just preposterous. They don't have the economic, industrial or military capacity to do it. And it's the logic of, you know, the madhouse, quite honestly, for us to arm Europe when it's already very heavily armed, spend more on weapons and war, and for working people in this country and across Europe to pay the price for that. That's the road to instability, and it's the road back to the sort of horrors that we saw in the First and Second World War.
All right. Anyway, your message is get that bill passed, irrespective of what Craig was suggesting, that it's poking the bear, and perhaps poking the bear just at the wrong time.
I just think the idea that we bow down to bullies is a very, very foolish policy to pursue. I don't think it's in any other arena would we tell our children to bow down to bullies. We'd say stand up to bullies. And it is absolutely clear Trump is a bully. He's doing immense damage to his own population. That's becoming clear. He told a lot of fibs to the American electorate, which they're now paying a big price for. Why on earth would we bow down to this crazy agenda? We should stand up to it and oppose very strongly the drive towards militarization, and obviously stand on principle against genocide. Because if Israel can continue to get away with the genocide against the people of Gaza, then it will be repeated elsewhere. We are heading in a terrifying direction, and we need to stand on principle against that.
Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD for Dunleary, thank you very much for joining us. Some of the text coming in: how many job losses would be acceptable in his own constituency for Richard Boyd Barrett if Trump imposed additional penalties on Ireland because of the Occupied Territories Bill? We are unfortunately linked to the US. If Richard Boyd Barrett has his way, we will cut all ties, and that means economically. How would Richard suggest we pay welfare to all the people who will lose their jobs? Richard needs to start living in the real world. Another one: it's very sad if we give in to Trump purely for economic reasons. We're not really much better than him in the long run, are we? A question from John.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.